Yeah. They're just kind of chilling out back here, Melvin.
Got the water bottle?
Yeah.
We don't have the candy, though. What's the deal with the candy?
No candy. Actually, we had a bunch at the house, and she didn't bring it.
I'll give you some on break.
Give us some on break. if it's chewy, we can have it while we speak. Wow, Melvin, I've got a lot on the table I want to talk about, several different subjects. And I just go all over the place. So, but we'll try to stay on one or two subjects and talk about that. But we'll flip through just some of the news that I've seen on Facebook. Of course, here we go again. Another week, another teacher, Moulton, Alabama. So this is don't get excited.
I got excited about fell on my chair.
Look, I know she's
not
was,
from Moulton.
Okay.
Anyway,
but look, I mean, she's a cute little girl, 27 years old, little blonde, having sex with an 18-year-old student. So here we go again. I mean, look, all she had to do was wait a year, and then it would have been legal, and then she wouldn't have ruined her life.
Probably so. You know, that was discussed before on a prior topic, I believe, is the whole thing that makes that illegal is that it's a student. You know, the age, there's no problem with the age, you know, as long as it's over 16 years old. But the fact that he's a student, it's just stupid. Dumb decision on her behalf because it's – and then we discussed, I think it's a B felony. I mean, that's a 2 to 20-year sentence.
Exactly.
You lose your job. You end up on the front of the newspaper, and it's bad.
Wouldn't you think the staff at every high school in America – talks about this every single week.
They do.
This is what you don't do. Do not mess with the students.
They do. They discuss them, and I think they actually have in-services on them. And at one time, I think they were trying to pass a law that it required teachers to go through the in-services and stuff. I mean, it's a dumb mistake. It's a definitely dumb mistake.
Yeah, because everybody's going to talk. If it's a guy, and let's just go ahead and say it, a guy's going to be proud, you know. Let's just call it like it is. People may bash me, but that's how it is. And then you tell your buddy, and you tell your other buddy, and then a mama's told, and then they're at school, and you have ruined your life. You ruined your career over something stupid like that. I just don't understand why people do it.
Probably your marriage and everything else have been.
Exactly.
You know, if they're married. So it's bad news.
And just to know, hey, what if I do get caught? Here I am. I'm going to be thrown in the media, and my life is over. But, you know, they're willing to take that chance.
So, apparently, it happens every week.
It really does. I mean, what happens during summer break? I mean, are these teachers just going in DTs or something? I know that wasn't nice. Anyway, next subject, I guess. Danielle's over here shaking her head at me. Look, I just tell it like it is, and everybody knows that I'm right. So, there we go. So,
what is that? In the summertime, you have band camp. Anyway, this
meanwhile
about?
At band camp. Well, look, I just wanted to bring up. So I'm flipping through Facebook. You know, look, why I watch Channel 6 and 13 and 31 and 48? I mean, Facebook is your news media now. Okay, it's just everything's on there, so I can just go through in the morning and look at everything. So here I am flipping through, and then I see, wow, people doing shoplifting here in Coleman. Really? Come on. I understand if – no, I really don't. Even if you're broke, you know, you can always go to somebody for help instead of stealing because it's not right. But then if you have money and you're going and stealing, why would you do that? And especially, you know, with the career choice that you have and you have a really nice career, I have no understanding of why somebody would go into Walmart and shoplift. I won't call no names, but I just don't understand it.
Yeah, because they have cameras. You're going to get caught. There's cameras on everywhere. And the thing is, once you are caught, you're banned from all Walmarts. They have like a central.
Ooh.
Yes, I know. That's,
no
that's,
way.
That is punishment itself. But they literally, my understanding, they actually have a central data system. I mean, they have face imaging. So when you walk through
really?
Walmart, yeah, them cameras picks you up and then it goes through all them. And if you match up faces, yeah, you're trespassing. You get in trouble, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so you're trespassed
out of
the
Walmart.
Yeah, that'd be bad.
That's like getting kicked out of a dollar store or something. And I wouldn't know how to act getting kicked out of a dollar store. But I don't know. I just don't understand it. You know, everybody has a status to uphold in my thinking. And knowing that you may get caught and then do get caught, I mean, you would think that just ruined your career in a small town like Corwin or any town.
This past legislative session, if I'm not mistaken, I think they finally passed a law defining moral turpitude. And why does that matter? Moral turpitude, or crime involving moral turpitude, affects you, like ability to get on a jury, you know, being on a jury. It affects your ability to get voting rights and stuff like that. And normally, all felonies, I think, are normally crimes of moral turpitude. I think there may be some they took off there, but most time, any type of theft, offenses and stuff like that, that can come up. So these things can come up, haunt you later on. For instance, let's say later on in life you get in more trouble, and generally they can't bring up crimes of the past and stuff like that. But if you get up there and testify, then if you've been convicted of a crime involving moral turpitude, like theft or forgery, stuff that goes to your character of honesty, then that can be brought out in front of a jury.
All right, so let me ask you this.
Normally you can't bring that stuff out in front of a jury.
If you're in prison for a year or two, whatever the reason, now, are you going to legally lose your right to vote forever?
Yes, but now they have passed the law that there are some issues about the voting. That's where it goes back to the crimes involving moral turpitude. I think the law is, if you've been convicted of a crime involving moral turpitude, you can't vote. All right? That became an issue back in 2006. Yes, 2006. And a lot of people, I think there's a court case or an opinion, an attorney general's opinion or something that came out, and then a lot of people went and registered and got to vote during that time, and then they shut it off. But that's where if you've been convicted of it, then yeah, you lose your right. Now, you can go petition the Alabama Board of Pardon and Paroles. They do the pardons, and you can get rights back. And I think you can get your voting rights back. Okay. But, like I said, this new law, and I'm pretty sure they said it passed, and I imagine the governor probably passed it. I mean, he's probably signed it in law. It actually defines it, because the issue before is, what is a crime involving moral turpitude?
Okay.
And most of it's just, you know, it's felonies, and it's anything that involves deceit. Forgery, thefts, burglaries, robberies, of course, stuff like
that.
And
I bet there is some deceit at the voting polls every now and then.
Every once in a while, probably some deceit, yes, I'm sure.
So let's say that none of that mattered, and everybody could vote. Could you imagine how many political signs would be at all the prisons? Couldn't you see Hillary's picture up there on the fence? And
I guarantee you could probably get a lot. You get a lot more people voting, because there's a lot of these people that's been convicted of crimes would be wanting to get back at the judge. So when this election come up, they would definitely go to the polls to vote. So your voting percentage would go up.
Oh, we need a new judge. I can see it now.
That's about the only way they can get back at him, is try to get them elected out of office.
All right, next subject, because I thought you had a lot on the table that I want to talk about. So why don't we talk about stalking laws? So every now and then, you know, you'll see a case here or there where somebody will say they're getting stalked. Now, I would think, but I'm no, well, actually, I come from the school of Big D Law, so I have my own laws that I think of, okay? But I would think stalking actually means that you're really on to somebody all the time. You know, not just that every now and then text message, but it's probably constantly every day. I would think that they would consider that stalking. So I'm looking around, and there's actually a misdemeanor law in stalking. So can you explain exactly what that may mean as far as being a misdemeanor?
Yes, I was surprised too that there is a misdemeanor stalking, but I have looked it up, and I'm going to talk about it in a second. But all other stalkings other than the misdemeanor ones means that you put someone in fear of their safety or their harm. So you're following somebody, you're harassing somebody, and you're doing it with the intent to put them in fear, and you're making a credible threat of fear. You know, they really have a reason to be fearful of you. Okay. That's why I call it stalking. So stalking by itself is a felony. It's a Class C felony. Now then, it becomes aggravated stalking if you've got a protection order from me. So let's say here's a situation where a spouse is getting divorced from someone, or maybe they've already divorced from this other spouse. They've had problems before, so they've got a protection order against them saying, hey, you can't, it's a restraining order, you can't have any contact with this person. And if that order is in place and this person is still following and trying to communicate with them and putting them in fear for their life, then that becomes aggravated stalking. That's a Class B felony. That's 2 to 20 years.
Wow.
Gets you in a lot of trouble. So I was kind of surprised that there was a a misdemeanor stalking, because I would think that anything less than that would just be harassment.
Right.
But in Alabama, the law involving misdemeanor stalking says if a person acting with improper purpose. Now,
okay, I don't know
that's an issue. I'm sure that's not defined in the law. Under your definitions, like this is under Title 13A. This is what the criminal code is. And 13A, like 1, whatever else, it'll have definitions. And I'm sure, I don't know if there's a definition for improper purpose. I doubt there is, but this is what a legislature chose to put in this law. So if you act with improper purpose and you intentionally and repeatedly follow, harass, telephone, or contact someone, or, listen to this is crazy, or with any person, and with any other person or any member of that person's immediate family or any third party.
So even if you talk to him.
Yeah, so even if I'm not stalking and harassing you, if I'm going through someone else to get to you.
Right.
And this is crazy. And if I cause material harm to the mental and emotional health of that other person. How would you prove? I guess you could probably think of a fact situation where every one of us is guilty of misdemeanor stalking.
Exactly.
Because how do you cause material harm to the emotional and mental well-being of another person? But I think they kind of went overboard when they made the misdemeanor stalking. They was really trying to put together a law that would stand. I don't even know. I mean, according to what I've looked up on Alabar, it's still current, but I just don't see how that's even current.
So tell me what that Class B is. I mean,
this is a misdemeanor. So if it's a Class B, they get what, up to 6 months? Yeah,
that's
Class A is up to 90 days. A Class B is up to 6 months. You can get up to 6 months in prison.
Right. Yeah. So somebody
in jail, you go to jail. You won't go to prison for this.
So somebody does their 6 months, and well, they're done. I mean, they've finished out what their punishment. So they're good.
Yes.
And now they go back and do it again.
Go back and do it. And I would sometimes. I don't know if it's in first degree, which is the felony. Sometimes what happens is they'll say if this is your second violation, it's automatically a felony. But it does not say that on the first degree.
Wow.
So I guess you can just keep on getting misdemeanors as long as you affecting their mental, causing material harm to their mental and emotional well-being.
Me.
And how you and you get acting with an improper purpose. So,
wow.
Yes, it's...
So, Abby, have you ever been stalked by anybody?
No, I have not.
You have it by the definition, or you have it just hadn't been done, because its definition is it would probably take in a lot of people.
Oh yeah,
I guess. Hey, you could school kids could probably get their principals in trouble. He's always watching me. He's always following around, and he's trying to get me in trouble so he can take me in there and send me home or paddle me or
that's
put
it.
Me in timeout.
Yep.
May get your teachers. It's causing me mental harm. That's why I said the law is really kind of stretching it.
That's a lawsuit right there.
It's really stretching it.
Danielle, so. About you? You have any current stalkers or past?
Yes.
All right. So she said, yeah.
this topic comes up a lot in my office because, unfortunately, the protection laws, protection from abuse laws and stuff like that comes out, it's a piece of paper, but it's a serious piece of paper when you get one entered against you. And these, I have to tell these people, I said, look, you can't contact them. I said, you're going to get in trouble. You know, well, we're trying to work it out. We're trying to do this. I was like, yes, but if there's an order out there that says you can't contact them, you know, that ain't going to be a defense right. Saying we're trying to work things out. I said, if there's an order out there and you're violating that order, I said, you can get charged with stalking. I said, then you got a felony and you're in a lot bigger problems. I said,
right.
Your best deal is to stay away. you know, and go through your lawyers. You know, don't be trying to talk to the other person, because they I know most of them thinks, hey, I can talk to them and get them to see things my way, and we can do this and do that. But it's serious stuff.
So just as a guess, out of all the divorces that you do, what percentage actually will have a little bit of stalking in it?
Oh, there's a lot of it, man.
Really?
Yeah, there's a lot of it. There's a lot of it, yeah.
Wow.
Because people, they act on emotions. I always tell them all the time, I said, it is emotional. I understand, you know, a divorce action is emotional, I said, but sometimes you just have to think business. It's a business decision. You know, it's kind of like you got a contract, you got marriage, you're getting unmarried now, you're wanting to break that contract. So you kind of got to be business about it. Don't be emotional, because if you get emotional, you do stupid things and you get yourself stalking. You get charged with this.
I would just think, if we have an agreement that we're going to get a divorce, why do I want to be stalked? Why am I going to stalk somebody else? I mean, I just don't understand why I'd want to stalk my ex for.
Control.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of control.
Control them and torture them, get them back. Yeah.
And that just goes to show you the maturity of some people.
Yes.
You know, but it still drives me crazy to know that we have grown adults out there that acts like that. You know, break free, go on, move on with your life. So, I guess, let's just talk about a warrant then. If I'm going to get a warrant out on somebody for stalking, I mean, what do you have to do to get a warrant on somebody?
If it is a misdemeanor, which we've been talking about, the misdemeanor stalking, most of the time what the people will do is make a police report. And then the mistake, what people don't understand, or the misunderstanding at that point, is somebody thinks, hey, I've got a police report, the police is going to go get a warrant, and then we're all fine.
Right.
An officer cannot get a warrant for a misdemeanor unless he personally sees what happens. So the person that gets a misdemeanor stalking warrant will have to physically not only make a report to that officer, they'll have to go to the clerk's office to get a warrant.
Okay. Well, Melvin, we have someone on the line. Go ahead and tell us your name and what's your question.
Go ahead. Yeah, I got a letter from the sheriff's department on my door. That said I need to pick up some papers from the sheriff's department. I go to the sheriff's department, they can't find no papers. They send me to the courthouse. Courthouse has nothing in the computer, nothing in the system. But if there's a letter on the door saying I need to be, you know, need to pick up papers, go to court, whatever, what happens to that? Am I going to be in trouble?
I mean, does that piece of paper have your name on it?
Yes, it did. It had that, and it had, I think it's civil.
Yeah, I mean, so what that means is one of two things. You either got a lawsuit, I mean, I'm not going to say you, there's a lawsuit that they're trying to file a summons for, or it's a divorce type case, whatever else. Something of that nature, because it's not a criminal case, of course.
Yeah.
I don't understand why they wouldn't be able to find it. I mean, if they have your full name, you can go to the sheriff's department. They actually got a department over. It's called Warrants and Records, and they have access to everything. If you tell them your name, and if they have something out there, they should know it. And that's kind of strange. Unless, here's the issue, but you got a phone number. Is that Coleman County?
Yes.
See, yeah, because I was wondering unless it was something that was involved in another county, but still. You live out in the county. It's going to be. It don't matter. It's going to be a county sheriff's department that's going to deliver it to you anyway. You should be able to talk to Coleman County. Somebody at Warrants and Records, and I can't think of the two girls that are over. You should be able to talk to them, and they will tell you. I would just call between 8:30 or 8 and 4, whatever time tomorrow, 734-0342. Call the sheriff's department number and ask them for the records department, and they should know. No, you don't get any trouble. You won't get in trouble if you don't show up for whatever else. But what you run a risk of, and what people don't understand, is you run a risk of getting a default judgment. For instance, let's just say that that there's a credit card out there that someone owes, and they filed a lawsuit to try to collect their money, and you're not getting and they're not getting this person served. Well, eventually, what's going to happen is it's going to run in the paper. You're not going to notice it. They're going to go to court. It's the judge. We try to serve them. They didn't pick the papers up. We run it in the paper. They didn't answer. Give us default judgment. Well, then you have default judgment against you. You won't even ever know it. You won't know nothing about it. Yeah. 2 years later, hey, listen to this. This is what's great. Make you feel good. 2 years later, you'll be at your job, and then you'll get this notice saying, wait a minute, they're taking, what's this money coming out of my check? Well, they say, exactly. Well, you had this default judgment against you in Coleman back 2 years ago. And like, why didn't you know nothing about it? And they said, well, I'm sorry, but we got to take your wages.
Wow.
So they'll take 45% of your wages. Yeah. So it is important for you to get to the bottom of it and find out what it is. You're not going to get in trouble, but you want to know what are they definitely trying to serve you.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it.
All right, man. Hey, call the sheriff's department. They'll know. You ask for warrants and records. If there's something out there, they'll find it for you.
Appreciate it, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you for calling in.
Bye-bye.
Wow. That's got to be some kind of...
Can you... Oh, yeah, man. And it happens. Hey, I see it. I see it at least a dozen times a year, man. Somebody come in and say, man, they take, what's this deal? They said I got some kind of lawsuit and something. They're taking money out of my check. And I was like, I didn't know what happens. I said, what's your name? I look it up on out of court. Sure enough, there it is. Wow. It's always a credit card company or something like that out there that's and some people just purely ignore it. For instance, at least this guy's checking on it.
Exactly.
Some people will just ignore it.
Yeah.
You know, they get that piece of paper, so I ain't gonna call him back. They'll just avoid it. And then next thing you know, they get a default judgment and the money's taken out of the check or their checking account. Hey, that's even worse. On a garnishment, they can, if they file it, if they know where you, okay, I got a credit card. I haven't paid on that credit card, but when I did pay it, I use his checking, my checking account, my check. They know what bank you're using.
Exactly.
People don't realize they know what bank you're using. So when you default on that loan, the credit card company, once they get a judgment against you, they know exactly who to garnish. They'll file a garnishment. It'll go in the bank, and every single dime you got in the bank that day, wham, stop. Yep, it's gone. Gets put on hold.
So that is another reason why you never get a credit card.
That's another reason not to have a credit card, yeah. If you're going to get it, pay it. Because they will get you.
Pay it off.
It will come back and get you.
All right. Well, we're right at almost at half the hour, so we will take a quick break and come back and maybe talk about the stalking laws some more or warrants. Or I've got all kind of questions for you tonight, Melvin. You are listening to Understanding the Law with Coleman attorney Melvin Haston. We'll be back in just a moment.
This is Big D, the new voice of Live 95.5 from the popular Facebook page, What's Happening in Coleman, bringing you Carlton's Italian Restaurant. Coleman's elite Italian restaurant on 3rd Avenue Southeast. From our classic appetizer, garden salads to begin your meal, to our Carlton's signature entrees of chicken parmesan, lasagna, spaghetti, pasta ravioli, Cajun pasta, sandwiches, and Carlton's original thin crisp pizzas and mouth-watering desserts. You can dine in our beautifully decorated restaurant with outside patio area, or work with Lucy to utilize our catering service for your wedding or event. Carlton's Italian Restaurant, your Coleman connection for the best in Italian cuisine. This is Big D, the new voice of Live 95.5 from the popular Facebook page, What's Happening in Coleman. I'm also the owner of Cosmic Sound DJ Entertainment, in business in Coleman for over 30 years, and we travel statewide. With a brand new system, lighting, and sound, we're ready to come DJ your wedding, high school dance, corporate event, or anything that you have. It's 736-3888, Cosmic Sound DJ Entertainment, 256-736-3888. Now, back to the music.
Welcome back. Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. You're listening to Understanding the Law, a show taking your questions about how the law affects you. A show that is a deep discussion on the most common topics that come up in a law office and how the system of law works right here in Coleman County. If you have a question about the law, give us a call here at the Live 95 studio at 256-737-9505. This program is made possible by the support of local Coleman attorney Melvin Hastings. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And now, once again, here's your host for Understanding the Law, Big D, Daryl Netherly.
Welcome back to Understanding the Law with Coleman attorney Melvin Hastings.
You don't have me a nickname. Josh O'Neill was a real deal.
He was a real deal. Well, next week.
You're going to have a nickname
next
for me.
Next week, you'll have a nickname.
I want one that sounds like a wrestling nickname like
okay.
that or
okay,
a boxing nickname. Yeah.
All right.
The I'll real deal, Josh O'Neill.
Look, and I just came up quick.
I know.
I think he kind of liked it, too. The real deal, Josh O'Neill.
Well, that's what I call him. I call him the real deal. Anytime I say him now. There's the real deal.
Yeah, I mean, I still told you last week that we need to bring a bunch of them in here so we can just have a little party, and I can just terrorize every one of them with questions. But look, I just want to get on some more Alabama politics some more. It's such a good, oh my God, there's so many people that you can make fun of in the whole state of Alabama. I mean, it's just a wreck, you know, the state is poor, basically. I mean, where is all the funds at in Alabama? That's what I want to know.
You know, when you had Tommy on here, what, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I should have called in and I should have had him to tell you about a couple of great stories. He's got some great stories about being a lawyer. You know, did I tell you, he actually had a gun pulled on him in court.
I didn't know that.
Yes, he had a gun pulled on him in court, and he's got a better one than that. Since we're talking about family, let me tell you the other one because it's funny. It's great. This happened probably in the 60s, I want to say it was. This lady was getting divorced, and he knew her. But anyway, she was getting divorced. And the other side, the husband's lawyer, had this letter that was supposedly written by this lady as a love letter to her boyfriend.
Mm.
So she's on the stand. He questions her about this love letter. She says, "I never wrote a love letter." And he says, "Well, I've got one here in my hand." She says, "Well, let me see it. Let me read it." So he gives her the love letter. She tears it up and eats it. She eats the
evidence. What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about.
She eats the evidence. Now, imagine the judge probably laughed about it. Now you'd probably go to jail. That's probably, I know, it's tampering with evidence.
There you go. That's exactly what it is.
I guess you get charged with felony and go to jail. You probably at least get contempt of court and go to jail for 5 days or something like that. But that was pretty fast thinking of her. Let me see that letter. Then eat that thing. She ate it. Ate the letter.
I'll get my homework.
Well, she had a paper trail, but it was coming out her bottom. That's for sure.
And that's a domestic case. The other story has is great. He was asking this lady questions on the stand in a divorce case, and she got mad, and she kept reaching down in her purse, and his client, Tommy's client, said, Tommy said, "What is she doing?" He's like, "Man, she's got a gun. You got to watch out." Tommy said he looked up here and she's on the stand. Yes.
No.
You got to get him to tell you the story. It's the funniest thing ever. She's on the stand. She's pointing a gun at him because she don't like his questions. So Tommy's like, "Whoa," you know, and everybody's panicking in the courtroom, and the judge looked at her and said, "Put that gun down." And he says, he swears up and down that he asked that judge to hold her in contempt of court, and he says, "No, it ain't nothing illegal about yes, that's what he says. I can't believe it, but that lady walked out of the courtroom.
Oh, my goodness. That would not happen to me.
That is not.
I'd be under the jail.
That wouldn't happen today because of medical
Oh, my goodness. I mean, it's nuts. You was talking about getting a group in here. I bet they could come up with some stories.
I bet they could.
I could probably think of some.
And the good thing about Tommy Drake, you know, he's kind of a big guy, so I could hide behind him.
Exactly,
you know, somebody's whipping a gun out, Tommy, stand in front of me, dude. You're a lot bigger than me. Oh, me. How do you think Blake West would handle a gun being pointed at him?
Blake, he'd talk him out of it.
Yeah, he would.
He's pretty smart. Yeah, he's willing to talk him out of it.
Just put that gun down.
He'd cross-examine him out of that gun.
Yeah, me and you, we're going to go to Downtown Grill, have some wings. Just put the gun down. I'm buying tonight.
Big deal, meet us up there.
Okay, back on subject matter. We got not much time left. Man, the time flies by so quick in here.
Said every week.
So, is there a difference, or just want to talk about stalking and domestic violence? I mean, it's almost kind of the same thing, but it's a different subject. So, how do you think that ties in?
It is different. Once I think about it, probably a lot of stalking ends up in domestic
violence at some point.
But domestic violence is, man, and it takes in all different types of crimes. It could be harassment. It can be assault. Like I said, the new domestic violence law even brings in like criminal mischief and things like that. You do damage to property and all. But domestic violence involves the key to it. What's different than all the other crimes is it involves someone that you're either married to, a household member, a boyfriend, you know, a dating relationship, okay, or something like that. So, you know what? And I think the newest ones, the old domestic violence law, I think it says you had to have a dating relationship within the last 6 months or 2 years or something. If I'm not mistaken, I think the new domestic violence law says if you ever had a dating relationship.
Oh, yes, it's nuts.
So I guess, you know, if you meet your high school sweetheart 25 years later and y'all get into a fight, she can get you for domestic violence. I mean, it is kind of nuts. They really went overboard with it. It's like all the other laws. They pass a law. It's good. I mean, the intent and all that stuff is probably good on these things, because they made the crimes a lot more serious. The thing about domestic violence crimes and probably these stalking offenses, if you can get convicted of them, it involves, you know, ability not to buy guns and keep guns and stuff like that. Right. So I think that's why the original intent was, hey, if you got some mean guy that's beating his wife all the time and he's threatening her and he's stalking her and he's got guns and all that stuff, if you can convict him of a crime, and it may even be a misdemeanor, but you convict him of a crime that affects his ability to go out and buy guns, and do stuff. But then, so you get the law out here, and it's pretty good, and then everybody just kind of runs wild with it. They abuse it. I mean, it gets abused. Judge Turner probably has nightmares at nighttime because he hears it all the time, because most domestic violences are misdemeanors. So, unfortunately, in Coleman County, he gets all the misdemeanor cases. So, And I guarantee, if you ask him, a lot of his domestic violence cases involves divorces. Mm. So what happens is someone gets divorced and then they claim domestic violence. Domestic violence is serious because it influences custody. There in the law, it says if one parent commits domestic violence to another parent and occurs in front of the children and it has adverse effects on the children, then that person cannot get custody. You know, you can't get joint custody or nothing. You can get visitation rights, but you can't have custody and stuff. So it is serious. And then they've upgraded domestic violence. And now if you call it serious physical injury, and now they got one that a lot of people's kind of went a little nuts with. It's the strangulation. You know, domestic violence law is kind of, the way the law is written is kind of iffy, but, you know, because it's hard to prove that they go unconscious, you know, and all that stuff, you know. And then at some point, you know, if you got, you should never have domestic violence. I don't understand it, but it does happen. You know, it does happen. And, you know, if you touch their neck and leave marks on them, man, a lot of times you ain't got the simple domestic violence. You got the serious class B, go to prison, don't get out of jail free. You're going to prison with domestic violence strangulation. So,
so back in the day, you know, I always had a boring life, so I'd sit home on Saturday night and watch Cops, okay? So some episodes, like, you'll see the domestic violence. Let me tell you something. There's some good ones on there, too, okay? So sometimes they would only take one spouse to jail.
Yes, yes.
Now, sometimes they would take both spouses to jail. Now, is this a domestic law by state, whether one or two goes to jail or what?
Yes, it probably is by state. But now, all of the domestic violence and a lot of that stuff, I think it started out as federal law. I know there's federal stuff involved with it, okay? But, yes, most of it goes by state. And That is the, I ain't going to say it's the only crime, but that is one of the crimes that a police officer, that a misdemeanor that a police officer does not have to observe to take you to jail on. Okay, for instance, let's, I'm trying to think of some criminal mischief. Somebody goes out here and does something damage to your car or whatever else. You know who it is,
right.
And it's a misdemeanor. You go call the police and make a warrant. I mean, you go call the police and make a report on it. Police is not going to go get a warrant on it because they didn't see it happen.
Okay.
You have to go get a warrant on it because it's a misdemeanor. Now, then, domestic violence is one of the laws that the police do not have to see it happening. They don't have to actually see the fist right. fight and stuff. They're going there and they'll look, and you know, and there has been times that they take both. Yeah, they will take both. They'll take both parents.
So what's their evidence that they need to see?
Marks. They look for marks and listen to stories and stuff. And unfortunately, I've seen cases like this. A lot of times it's the kids. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. For instance, so you got mom and daddy. Most time they're, a lot of times they've been drinking or something's right. going on. They get in a fight. They're carrying on. Cops get caught out there, and then they'll get each other's stories, but then you got children there. So in that situation, sometimes DHR gets called. You know, these people, man, they get in a lot of trouble. You got DHR, you got criminal cases, everybody's going to jail, you're losing your jobs. I mean, it really gets to be nuts. Plus, you got, you know, and if these people's doing drugs, you got police going to your house, they look over and see a needle, now they got probable cause to search your house. It blows up, man, so... But anyway, you know, they'll talk to both parents, get each side of the story. Of course, it's going to be two different sides of the story.
Exactly.
But then you got children there, and children says, well, mom and daddy both were fighting, they're right. both drinking, they're doing this, doing that. So in them cases, sometimes they'll just take both of them to jail.
Wow.
You know, and a lot of it's just a cycle. You know, if you had the dispatchers here, they could probably tell you phone numbers of people they go out and get domestic violence calls on all the time. You know, so, because what happens? You get mad at your spouse, you call, or someone calls, that person goes to jail, you know, 2 weeks later, they done kissed, made up, everything's fine, they'll get the case dismissed, they want the case dismissed, and then 2 months later, they're
all
in it again, it's
again.
All over again.
And next time, now it's bigger, now we gotta call Melvin to
recognize. Yes, yeah, yes.
Now, I think earlier, Abby wanted to ask a question, so Abby, if you'll come over to the mic, you can ask your question.
Hey, earlier you were talking about stalkers, and you mentioned something about a restraining order. What sort of like constitutes someone receiving or getting someone else to have a restraining order against someone?
The restraining orders that we're referring to, that's the most common ones, are called protection from abuse orders. So what they do is you go to the clerk's office. It's called an ex parte petition for protection from abuse. Ex parte means it's only one side. The judge only hears one side. It's an emergency situation. So that person goes out there and fills out all this information. It's a domestic thing, so you still have to have a relationship with that person. You either have to be a former spouse, a former household member, a current spouse, a child, some type of a relative that you live with that person. Because if you're not, you know, I can't go get a protection order against Big D or against you because we're not former spouses or related or whatever else. But now you can against your former spouse or whatever. So number one things they look at is you check off, hey, I'm related to this person in this way. So you put that in there, and then you list on there, what has this person done? They have threatened me. They've threatened abuse to me. They have actually committed abuse to me. So you can get a PFA not by, you don't have to be violence. It can be threats of violence. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to cut your head off. I'm going to blow your head off. I'm going to do this. You know, people get mad and say a lot of stupid stuff. So you check, you do them check marks, and then you talk about, you check when the dates, when it occurred, and then you'll just tell what happens. So you go to the clerk's office, you fill out this paperwork, turn it in to the clerk. The clerk will get it to the judge. Now, a lot of phone calls I get when they're talking about them, when someone is trying to obtain a protection from abuse order against another person, they get antsy because they think, all right, in 5 minutes I'm going to get an answer. You're not going to get an answer. You're going to fill out all this information. The clerk's going to enter it to your computer. Going to get sent to the judge. Well, that judge may be in the middle of a trial. You know what I'm saying? The judge, it may be something going on, but at some point it's going to get to a judge. It may not be that afternoon. Maybe the next day. May even be the 2 days later. It's going to get in front of the judge. The judge is going to read what you put down there. What they're looking at is, first of all, can I do a PFA on this person? Is this person related somehow? And then they say, all right, is this person in Coleman County? Did this stuff happen in Coleman County? And then they'll look at the stuff, and if they feel that it's a that it's enough of a situation, that it's a credible threat, that it's an emergency situation, they'll enter a protection from abuse order. They'll sign it. They'll date it. Most of the time it's for a year, but sometimes they'll set it for 6 months so that they're in an order for 6 months. You don't have, and they'll mark on there specifically, you have no contact directly or indirectly with this person. You stay away from this home. I mean, and they can just say, don't have no contact with them. Leave it alone. They can say, don't have no contact. Don't stay away from this home. They can say, don't have no contact. Stay away from this home. Stay away from their business. You know, you list, hey, where I work at. You list, stay away from the children. You know, and unfortunately, we'll go back, Abby, to what I was talking a minute ago. They're good, but they get abused. The purpose, the initial purpose was good for them. And I'll tell you about that in a minute, why they're important, what the difference in them and then a regular restraining order. But people abuse them. They go in there. What happens is somebody wants to get divorced. They want temporary custody of the kids. So what they go file a petition from abuse, and they ask the judge, hey, judge, I haven't filed for divorce yet. I don't have enough money to get a divorce or whatever else, but I want custody of my kids. I want this person kicked out. Well, then they'll go write all this stuff down, and they won't custody the kids. And our judges, luckily, they have caught on to that, and they'll read it. You know, if I'm alleging that me and you's having a fight and that's it and there ain't no threat to the kids, whichever the judge, is not going to mark, hey, you stay away from the kids, because there's no credible threat to the kids. He'll say, you don't have no contact with this other person. That's it. So they'll read it, and then they'll sign the petition order. There's a lot of them they deny. They'll deny it because they say, well, look, it's not a former spouse. You don't live with this person. You know, hey, it may be, it's nuts. You know, a current girlfriend trying to get a ex-spouse, you know, PFA against an ex-spouse. They say, well, look, you don't live with her. You're not related to her. It's not applicable to you. Maybe this person lives in another county. They say, look, you're going to have to go file it over another county. They'll deny it. And then sometimes they won't deny it or grant it. They'll say, well, I'm going to set this for hearing. And that's what we do on Thursdays at 1:15. They have that docket. They call it. And the key to PFAs, petition from abuse orders, the other person has to be served. So even though when the judge grants it, it's in effect, but there's really no lawful effect to it till the defendant gets served with it. He has to get served with it. Now then, he's entitled, he or she, and I say he because a lot of times it is the male that gets them against him. He's entitled to have, it's a restraining order. It's an ex parte order. The judge only hears one side of the story. You're entitled to have your side of the story told. So, you know, sometimes they'll put, hey, we'll have a hearing within 7 days of the, whenever the person serves. So that person's got to get served. Now, here's the key. Once you get served for one, and when you've got notice of it, if you violate that thing, and that's what makes it different from a regular restraining order, it is a crime to violate a petition order. And I mean, it's a misdemeanor, but a regular restraining order against someone, if you file a regular restraining order, if they violate it, you file a petition for contempt, hold them contempt, you get a court date a month, 2 months, 3 months later on, you know, and you can't do nothing about it. These protection orders, they passed them so they can make it a crime to violate these family orders. And then you go to jail, and I think a lot of times in jail, they may hold you for a whole day. I know they hold you for like 12 or 18 hours. So you go to the clerk's office, file it, the other person gets served, and eventually get to have a hearing. Now, here's the kicker, too. Sometimes you don't want a hearing. If the facts, you know, if they allege stuff in there and that other person's pretty credible and it looks like it's pretty legitimate, if you have a hearing on that, it expires when that judge said it expires. It may be 6 months, maybe a year. You can go get it extended, and the judges are real reluctant on extending them. But if it's a serious situation, they will extend them past another year. But they won't extend them but once. That's it. So some people is better off letting that thing expire in 6 months and go away, because if you have a hearing on it and the judge makes a finding of fact that, yes, he thinks you did do that stuff, that goes with you from now on. No. Oh, yes. And if you have a petition from abuse against you, it's just like the domestic violence laws. Man, no guns. Can't buy guns. When you go to a gun store to purchase a gun, they're doing a background check on you. They're looking. Have you ever been convicted of domestic violence? Do you have a current petition for abuse order against you? That's what they're looking for. And it affects you. You won't buy bullets. You won't be able to get guns or whatever else. And if you possess one while you got them against you, it's also a crime too. So it is serious stuff. So a lot of times, you know, depending on the, you know, some people say this is just lying, you know, it ain't true. I don't want this against me. And sometimes you say, look, it's better off just letting this thing expire. Or if you get divorced, go work out some kind of agreement with the other side. Say, let's just do a mutual restraining order. We're going to stay away from each other. No reason, have no contact, and dismiss this protection from abuse. Because, hey, you work, and I've seen this, people works at the Redstone Arsenal, whatever else. You work on a federal facility, you got your PFA, you won't work there no more. You're gone, yeah. Yeah, they don't let you on there, so.
So, you're talking about just, like, domestic situations. What if, say, I was at work, and this random dude keeps coming in, constantly trying to, I don't know, harass me and trying to talk with me and everything, and I start getting very uncomfortable and not really feeling great about the situation, would I still be able to get a restraining order?
You won't be able to get the PFA at that point, and that happens a lot. What I tell people is you let the other person know, hey, look, you know, this has got past the point of being aggravating to me. You are harassing me, and I'm going to get a warrant for you. I don't want to do that, but I'm going to get a warrant. You're going to get arrested. You know what I'm saying? You just tell them, say, look, you're not going to have no more contact with me. Either you're going to voluntarily not do it, or I'm going to get it forced on you, because when you get arrested, they're going to put a no contact order on there. You know, and the deal with harassment, if they're intentionally contacting you to annoy you, to alarm you, to cause you fear or whatever else, that's the definition of harassment, you know. And that's why Mingo, I was kind of surprised that they got a misdemeanor stalking, because most of that stuff fits in the harassment things. But a stalking's just you taking it a little too far. You know what I'm saying? You're annoying, alarming, staying in contact with somebody, and you're doing it for a stated purpose. What they call an improper purpose, what it says.
But you know, you would think, though, with all of the divorces going on, and you're sitting here telling me that it happens a lot.
Yes.
You would almost think that you would have to have a few officers that does nothing but that. Because if somebody is going to sit here and call and say, hey, look, this guy is within 100 yards from me, you know, I need you to come get him. You would just think that some of the police would just be doing that full time.
You know, and I'm going through my head now, because I kind of keep up with the, I'm not saying all cases are not serious, but especially the murder cases, the capital murder cases and stuff like that that's in Coleman, and the other ones I've been around in other counties. Almost every single one of them is a domestic-related issue. You know what I'm saying? It is
right. Someone
killing someone else or something that they know they're related to or whatever else. It is involved in it. There's not just like random drive-by and just go murder. You know, you don't have serial killers
right. Coming
to Coleman just killing somebody for the heck of it. It's all domestic-related. If you had the sheriff on here, I guarantee he'd say a majority of his calls deal with domestic related stuff. It is domestic violence. It's fighting. It is, forgers. Hey, we get forgers all the time from, actual parents writing. You would think kids would be writing parents' checks, forging their names.
Right.
I've actually had a recent case where a parent wrote a kid's check.
Wow.
So you have kids taken from parents and parents taken from kids and grandparents, and so everything, you know, I can't even think of the word I'm trying to look for, but stealing someone's ID stuff.
Right.
All of that, most time you have to have access to that information, and it's family, you know, and that's what they look at. So the police, they deal with domestic stuff day in and day out, every bit of it. I mean, painting cars and tearing up cars and tearing up stuff. It's just boyfriends, girlfriends, moms, dads, everybody just mad at each other, and kids, and they're doing everything.
I mean, it is nuts. I'm sure it's bad in Coleman, but much less being Huntsville, Birmingham, Chicago, something like that. I mean, you're constantly running.
Yes.
You know, if you're a cop, don't even get out of the car.
Yeah.
Because you're fixing to go to another one.
You know, and if you keep up with a lot of these law enforcement related shootings and stuff like that, a lot of them, they're going to domestic violence. You know, this poor cop, man, he's walking back to this call on a domestic violence call, and he's probably been there 10, 15 times before, and he thinks, well, I'm going to walk up here and these two people, I'm gonna separate them, we'll be all right. And next thing you know, he's been shot or something because
And I would think that would be the worst call to go to.
Yes.
Absolutely the worst.
Yes.
Domestic violence.
Yeah. You know, is it Huntsville or Limestone County? I can't remember. That poor little girl, there was a, she was 22 years old, I think. And the father of her child, I don't think he was her husband. Shot her and killed her right in the front yard in front of her kid, 2-year-old kid, left it there.
Geez.
And then he takes off and drives off to another county. They catch up with him, and then he shoots himself in the head, kills himself after law catches him. Yeah, so this domestic stuff gets, it's a lot. I mean, the criminal cases are due, the custody stuff are due, the divorce stuff, everything else, it all intermingles in there. And then law enforcement, it drives a lot of the court system.
Look, you know, we should actually call the sheriff and see if he'll come in another week or two. And
he will. Matt will come in. He'll come in and talk to you. And you would probably be amazed at the kind of stuff that.
Oh, I know sees. I would. Yeah. I know.
You know, I keep up with some of it, but he keeps up with all of it because he sees it. It all comes across his desk. He knows what's happening. It is amazing what happens in Coleman County.
Let's see if Matt Gentry will come in.
He will.
Because he'll have a blast with me and Melvin, I tell you. he will leave this studio and say, I will never go back and with him. Them guys are crazy. They're literally crazy. So here's one of the things that I think blows a lot of people's mind that's outside of Coleman County, because I hear it a lot. Whatever, I'm in Jefferson County, I got a little crack on me, I got some meth, I'm going to jail, I got a $50,000 bond on me.
Yep.
Coleman County, $1 million.
Yeah, you can. If it's manufacturing or trafficking, yeah, you're gonna get the million bucks.
So don't you know all them crackheads are going, don't go to Coleman.
Don't go to Coleman.
Matt Gentry will put you in jail and you will stay.
For a while, yeah.
Let's stay in Blount County.
Yes. The law enforcement, and I understand because I hear it a lot, they're aggravated with the new prison laws and standards and stuff. The DA's office, man, they fuss all the time. Because they have set out guidelines for these drug and property related offenses. Mostly it's drug related offenses that, you know, people can get caught 2, 3, 4 times before they actually have to go to prison. You know, and they get frustrated with that. But, you know, I don't know that it helps out, man. I see it. It's just a cycle. It's the same ones that you send them to prison for a year, you send them to prison for 10 years, they get back out and they do it again. You know,
exactly.
I don't know how you. I still go back. I think they've got a mental. Some of them's just villains. Some of them just criminals. You know, but a lot of them has issues that needs to be fixed.
But look, I mean, no work ethic. You know, I'm going to jail. I'm getting fed. Watch a little TV. Man, I got it made. Get out. Do it again immediately.
Yeah,
and I bet the repeat offenders. I bet some of them does it within the first month when they're out.
Oh yeah. Hey.
That drives me crazy. It really does.
Hey, what's great is these ones that gets in trouble and they're going to go to rehab on Monday or whatever else, and they want out of jail so bad. What's happened is Judge Cheney's kind of caught on to them because he's realized over the years that they get out and they just get their butt in trouble because they want to go do meth one more time before they go to rehab. So they go to rehab on Monday and test positive. So now he says, no, you leave from jail and go to rehab. They get mad about it, but he's doing it for their good. And these people, I mean, a lot of them, it's not only just testing positive, they're getting in trouble. You know, they get busted for manufacturing or catching new charge, waiting to go to rehab. So it's tough.
Wow. To be a criminal, I tell you what.
To be a criminal, man, what a life.
The life of a criminal is just unbelievable. Just because I really believe most of the time, not all the time, most of the time, there is no learning. I'm not going to learn from this experience because I'm going to do it again.
Yes.
Because I like doing it.
They like doing it. They make choices.
Yeah. So I'm finally out of jail. Let's go down to Crack Avenue in Inslee and get hooked up. And then that's it. Then you're right back in jail. And or you do something stupid while you're high.
Yes.
Kill somebody, run over somebody. There you go. Crazy. All right, so we'll maybe Melvin, you or Danielle can call a few people and see if we can get Matt in, maybe get a couple more attorneys in, and we'll have a little round robin in here one night. Man, it's going to be fun, I can tell you right now.
Yes.
Well, it is that time again. The hour has went quick. We'd like to thank everybody for listening in to Understanding the Law with Coleman attorney Melvin Haston. Check us out next Tuesday at 6 p.m. when we have a few more guests in, possibly. And you can check Big D out on the Big D Radio Show Thursday nights at 6:30 p.m. after Path Changers. For Melvin Hastings, Danielle, and Abby, this is Big D. We will catch you next time. God bless you. God bless America.
Welcome back. Live 95 is Coleman's Independent Radio.
Today's a winding road that's taken me to places that I didn't want to go. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Today, in the blink of an eye, I'm holding on to something and I do not know why. I try to read between the lines. I try to look in your eyes. I want a simple explanation. What I'm feeling inside. I gotta find a way out. Maybe there's a way out. Your voice was the soundtrack of my summer. Do you know you're unlike any other? You're all.